In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I feel I must confess. I have to confess to you, my brothers and sisters, I do not like mustard greens. I have lived my entire life in the South, in Mississippi. Mustard greens, turnip greens, collard greens, it's all pond scum to me. That's not fair. Erica loves them, and I have tried. Pepper sauce on it, a little sugar in it, it doesn't work. I love spinach. I even like kale. But turnip greens just leave me cold. I can't do it. So it always kind of bothers me when Jesus picks that particular plant as an example of what the kingdom of God is like. I suppose I should comfort myself in thinking, well, at least I'm not eating the kingdom of God, but... But he does use this imagery that you can take a very, very tiny seed and plant it in the ground. And in conjunction with the first parable he told, it grows. And we really don't know how. I mean, we can explain it somewhat biologically, but it's still a wonder. Have you ever seen the stop motion photos of a seed sprouting underground? And he knows which way is up and which way is down and grows the right way. And the plant grows up and the roots grow down. And it's a miracle. Someone said this morning, it's magical. It's not, though. That's the whole thing. I mean, Jesus says it's the way the earth works. It's not a magic process. It's a natural process. It's the way God designed it to work. And so this tiny little seed somehow grows into this large shrub. So the kingdom of heaven is like a shrub, which is actually better than it sounds. Matthew and Luke, when they tell this story, they say it grows into the mightiest of trees, which is obviously wrong. A mustard plant is not a tree, and mighty or otherwise. It is a bush, a shrub, and yet it is so much bigger than the seed it started from. And it says that the birds can come and nest in its shade. And I've never actually known a bird to nest in a collard patch. I suppose it could happen. What he's pointing to, though, is our reading from Ezekiel, which was well known among the Jewish people of that time. When God says that he'll plant a cedar from Lebanon in Israel, and all the birds of the air will come and nest in its branches. They knew that imagery. And they knew it and understood it to be all the kingdoms of the earth. That's what they've been taught over and over again. That's what this verse means. It's all the kingdoms coming together. Back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 11, which isn't technically the beginning, but the beginning of our story here, God calls Abraham and promises him that through his descendants, all the world will be blessed. That God is not just a regional deity. The Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians and the Babylonians, they all had their own gods. And they all felt they pretty much kept to themselves. They didn't bother anybody in Rome, and the Roman gods didn't bother anybody in Babylon, and they were theirs. And at the beginning, the Israelites thought pretty much the same thing about Yahweh. But because of the Babylonian captivity, because of the exile, they came to the understanding that God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, was God everywhere, was the only God, and that all the nations we blessed through him. You didn't have your individual deities. There was just God, and God would draw all nations to God's self. And certainly, as Christians, we see that come to fruition in Jesus Christ, that it is Jesus who breaks open the good news of God to all the world. It's not just about one little community in the far reaches of the Roman Empire. It's good news for all the world. That was Paul's impetus. He was to go among the Gentiles, because the time that he had waited for all his life had finally come, the inbreaking of God into God's creation. All these promises that had been made since the very beginning of the Jewish identity were coming true in his lifetime. He could hardly contain himself. This was it, the moment they'd been waiting for thousands of years. God had come into the world in Jesus Christ and was offering salvation to all. Not just to the Jew, Gentile, man, woman, slave, free. It didn't matter. All were welcomed in. All were granted salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what he talks about when he's writing to the Corinthians here, that in Christ we're a new creation. Corinth was basically the New Orleans of the ancient world. It was a port city, and there were people from all over the world living there, all types of nationalities and cultures and languages and religions. They were dealing with an incredible situation at the church in Corinth. How do all these people come together? And it took so much work. Paul had to write two letters to them to get it straightened out. It was hard work to form all these birds of the air into one church. But that's what happens. There is one church. And yeah, the surface is that there are 40,000 different denominations, but we still believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Although we approach it in different ways and different people do different things, we all hold together in the understanding of God and the love of God in Jesus Christ. And all nations are brought into that. All people are called into that relationship with God. And our job is to plant those little seeds. As tiny as they may be, through God, they will grow. I know when I was teaching, I used to often envy garbage collectors. At least at the end of the day, they could look behind them and see a row of empty garbage cans and knew something had been accomplished. You can't do that teaching all the time. Sometimes you have to wait years for the fruit to grow. And sometimes it dies on the vine. But still, fruit will grow. And it's not for us to worry about how it grows or making it grow. God grows the fruit. We plant the seeds. We do all we can to spread the good news of God in Christ. We can do that. We're doing plenty. And then see when it grows to fruition, when the fruit is ripe, when it can be reaped, when harvest has come. And we can see how those small seeds we planted may someday grow into great things. And not because of us. We're not the seeds. We just sow the seeds that God has given us. May God give us the grace to sow seeds faithfully, to live our lives showing other people Christ in us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.